Thank you, Lord.
As Andrea started speaking, I'm pretty sure she was going to preach my message. And then when Pastor started talking, I thought he was going to end it. Thought y'all were going to get to go to the airport soon. What time is y'all's flight, by the way, so I don't make y'all miss it?
We're leaving at 12:30.
Well, what time is your flight from the airport? That's what I need to know. Because I know how long it takes to get to the airport, so I know when you got to leave, which means I know when I got to quit.
So if I go to 5 o'clock, you go to 3?
You're good. You're good. You're good. Everybody's got their slow cooker on low. We're good, right? So, we've been on the 2020 theme, right? That's what the Holy Spirit gave me to give to you. 2020. What a year, right?
Right.
What a year. He told me at the beginning of 2020, he told me it was a year of focus. And many of us often do, we think we know what that means. I thought I knew what it meant. In January, I thought it was just a corny way of, focusing in with the 2020 and all. How many of y'all know that 2020 turned out a little differently than I anticipated? Mm-hmm. There was one or two things that I didn't see happening, okay? Just one or two. We won't even get to the election, okay? I got it. Don't go there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see underneath there Ephesians 1, 16 through 23. So if you would... is it the next slide or the one after that? It was right there. Okay. I had it on my heart from the Holy Spirit that I was going to spend 2020, and that was going to be the only thing I read and studied in 2020. So that is the only thing I read and studied in 2020. Okay, I expanded it. I went to the whole chapter, okay, of Ephesians chapter 1. Because I've had people tell me that they've done this before, and it brought about some amazing results. So I want to talk to y'all about some of those, that while 2020 was going on, underlying that whole thing was a search for gold. And God brought that. So that's how I'm going to describe it to you this morning, as mining for gold in 2020, which is what I was doing. And it turned out to be an amazingly difficult, fascinating, growing year.
Yeah.
All the above. All the above. So I want to pray that prayer with you before I get started, because this is my opening prayer. Now, when I pray this, I'll either personalize it, or I'll change some of the what do you call it when you're directing it at somebody? That, whatever that is, who's it directed at? So I'll change those words. So that, in that case, I'm going to do that now. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give unto you all the spirit of wisdom and the revelation through the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glorious inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, which believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world only, but also in that which is to come. And he hath made all things subject under his feet, and hath given him over all things to be the head of to the church, which is his body, even the fullness of him that filleth all in all things. Lord, we want that wisdom. I mean, I want that wisdom. The wisdom and knowledge of him. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's what I want. I wanted it then. I want it more now. I want that wisdom. I want that knowledge of him. I don't care about the world. I'm glad he put me here. I'm glad to be alive. But if I die tomorrow, I'm going to be the happiest guy there is, because I know where I'm going. And I'll talk about how I know that here in just a second. But the fact of the matter is, well, I'll get to that. So some of y'all might say, well, you've studied this whole thing for a whole year. Why don't you have it memorized? Because somebody told me one time I should read the Bible like it's new every time. And it's been amazing to do it that way. Because it's been new every single time I've read this. It's been new every single time. I just got something new out of it that I didn't get the last time I read it. Okay? And you can mine it that deep. I'll give you an example. When I got to the first, and this is some of my beginning notes. When I got to the first word in the first chapter, the word is Paul. Just a name, right? I mean, does it really mean? Well, as I'm meditating on it, here's what the Holy Spirit dropped on me. See, Paul wasn't his original name, right? His name was Saul. Yet Paul wrote this. So this is telling me that he fully embraced his new name. He took it. He owns it. And with that, he now knows his purpose. Without a shadow of a doubt, he is bought into God's program for his entire life. And he's telling everybody out there, this is who I am. I am Paul. I'm Paul. I'm not Saul anymore. I'm Paul. I'm not the same person. So you can look at this epistle right here and you can say, wow, he is sold out. This is the guy that was killing people as a Jew. He was sold out completely as a Jew, and now he won't even use his Jewish name. Maybe I should listen to what this letter's got to tell me. And that was the first word. The second word is N. Just two little letters, right? N. N. So I'm meditating on the word N. And it tells me that Paul had an understanding and a realization that it wasn't just him. Don't get up on a throne now, Paul, because you're an N. You're not the, you're an N. You're a part of a team.
Right. Amen. That's good.
You're an apostle. Mm-hmm. You're one of many. Don't get too high. Mm-hmm. Don't get too high. See, I'm going to tell y'all what Alexander means today. And the first thing I got to do before I came up to this podium was go wipe up water in the head. That's bathroom for you non-Navy people. Okay? I'll tell you why that's important here in just a second. Apostle. The third word in this is apostle. That speaks to me and it told me. He knows his position in Christ. He knows his job. He doesn't have to go wondering what he's going to go do. He knows exactly who he is, what he's going to do, and he knows why he got there, he knows how he got there, and he knows what he's supposed to do now that he's there. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He doesn't work for himself. He doesn't have his own life. He doesn't get to make his own choices anymore. He doesn't get to decide where he's going next. He's got a job and is called an apostle. His boss is Jesus Christ. He doesn't have anybody else to answer to. Mm-hmm. And if he screws it up, guess who's going to come looking for him? Jesus is going to come looking for him. So when all the world's telling him, don't do this, don't do that, we're going to kill you, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, Paul says, I don't care about any of that. I don't work for you. I don't work for you. That's not part of it. So these are some of the wisdom nuggets that he's been dropping on me.
Yeah, it's good, Kevin.
And that's just what, the first four words? I haven't made it past the fifth line of the first chapter yet. It's nuts. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. In 2020, for me, the healing room was going great. Miracles, signs, and wonders were happening. People were coming through. We were expecting cars to start lining up. I still see that.
Yeah.
Cars start lining up.
Yeah.
Okay? The hospitals are going to start referring people.
Yeah.
All right? We're seeing that. A pandemic hits while I'm at a job site. I'm leaving the job site. I'm on the speaker telling them that I'm done for the day. And they said, we need you to come back in. we're shutting down. I'm like, say what? So I came back in, talked to my contact, and he said, yeah, all contract work is shutting down because of COVID. We don't know when you'll be back. Okay, then. So I go to Mohegan. I have an office in Mohegan Sun. I'm a contractor there. I watch Mohegan shut down. They let everybody go right then and there. Mohegan shut down. I was like, the prison ministry, major part of my ministry, well, the Lord's ministry that he was using me in, shuts down. Then I get to start working at an account up in Massachusetts. I was there every single day, all the way up and through July. I didn't see any of the stuff. I worked normal 8-hour days, 10-hour days, because hour up, hour back. So it didn't affect me at all. The biggest effect I had was I had to stop at Rhode Island roadblocks and tell them that I was going to work. Both of my parents passed away. One in April, one in May. It was natural causes, old age. But that whole transition period wasn't what I thought it was going to be. You know, I've spent the last 10 years of my life wondering how the passing of my parents was going to look and how it was all going to work out and how I was going to catch a flight down and was I going to be there to be with them and all of that. None of that. My sister had to handle all of it from Texas. She lives about 5 hours from them. Originally they were with her. She took them back. They wanted to go back to their house in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas. She found out ways to give them caregivers and all. But she put in a camera monitoring system for them. And at different times, the Holy Spirit would wake me up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and say, go turn the camera on. I hope I can get through this next part. Mm. He gave me glimpses into their life that I would have never had. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I got to watch my father praying with my mother. See, I didn't have to be there to get what I needed. Mm. The Holy Spirit made sure I got it.
Amen.
Well, they both ended up passing away. Then we had to get to the point where we took care of the house, got it all set up, and the Holy Spirit said, the house needs to go now. You need to sell the house now. And I'm like, okay. So I got my sister on board. We went through all the preps, all the staging. Now, she's sold about 2 or 3 houses, so she's been through the whole thing before. But I'm like, come on, let's go. And she goes, I don't know why you're in a hurry. I said, I don't know either, but I am, so let's just get it done. So we got it done. The fifth person that came and looked at it bought it. And it was about 14 hours after it first got listed. The house sold. My sister's closing. Because that house sold then, now my sister has the funds. She's closing on her new house tomorrow. So praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. And she lives in Dallas. Now, I'm just sitting in the chair over there thinking about it. If she hadn't had it done now, the property values in Dallas are skyrocketing, if you can even find something. And the Lord gave them a place in exactly where they wanted to be, and it became available, and everything's just right with it. So praise God. Number 9 is I learned my birth name. I'll show you that. We'll go now. Go ahead and advance the slides, please. To the very end. Last one, please. You see that right there at the bottom? I found all my adoption paperwork. And at the bottom of the paperwork, it said, this is consideration of the Ohio Children's Society placing with them infant baby Alexander. My original name was Alexander. Now, you say, well, okay. I've been a believer in the meaning of names since I got born again in 2000, by the way. So this 2020 is also my 20th year being born again. So Alexander means helper of men, which fits me way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I got asked to wipe up the floor in the bathroom, that wasn't a hard thing. Alexander's on it, right? You get it. I'm fixing to preach about my name, and the Lord says, okay,
hey,
let's see if you really help me here. Here, I got some help need over here. And I'm looking through the paperwork, and I found out my parents paid $550 for my adoption services. But it's not that bad, because in today's money, that's like $4,000, so I'm okay. I'm really worth around $4,000. But I found all that adoption paperwork, and there are mountains of it. Now, I don't know if I've told y'all this before, but my father threw no paper away. And no, y'all do not understand what I'm talking about. He had every check he'd ever written from 1922. Okay? He built three houses. He had every note he made in regards to building those houses. Everything. Every piece of paper existed.
Wow.
Okay? So, when Brett Kavanaugh had his calendars from his college days, I was okay. I got it. I understood it. I've seen it before. So, yeah. So, you can just call me Kevin Alexander Jameson Gross.
Amen.
So I want to embrace that name.
Yeah.
I also found a booklet on what Jameson means. The name Jameson, it actually originated all the way back to Germany. Then it moved to Scotland and Ireland and through. So all Jamesons, every variation of that name has the same base to it. So I learned all that, so that's pretty cool.
Amen.
And it really fascinates me, Aaron, that I get to see you come back today, because somebody going through that whole adoption process, you've been on my heart a long time for that, because I know it's been a long winding road. That's how the Beatles song goes. Long and winding road. Doo, doo. But it has a good ending. You might end up with somebody like me. Could you be so blessed? By the way, Pastor, I was a utility player in baseball.
Were you?
Yeah.
That's
not surprising. I pitched first base, outfield, shortstop, all that. The only position I couldn't play was catcher.
Same here.
I could not play catcher. Man, that bat, got by my head. I didn't care. All I wanted to do was not play catcher.
Yeah.
But anything else, we were in there. There was actually a ball player from the Los Angeles Dodgers named Kevin Gross.
Mm.
Okay. So one afternoon, I was sleeping on the couch, and I just kind of half awake, and I hear, and now pitching for Los Angeles, Kevin Gross. And I'm like, this is kind of cool. You know, it's a good dream. Let's go with this. I used to live in L.A. I like the Dodgers. And then I wake up a little more, and I'm watching myself on TV. And I'm saying, well, this dream is really getting weird. But, yeah, I did some of that, so I liked it. And then later on, I started getting more and more revelation into God's Word. Now remember, this whole thing started out. I've been reading Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and I've been praying it for myself. I wanted more wisdom, and I've been praying it every day. So every day I'm getting more and more wisdom, more and more insights. And the one part of the prayer that's just huge that was for me, that a lot of y'all might not have gotten, is in, Sam, could you go back to the Ephesians slide? 8 in verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Okay? Now, what does that mean? What's Paul saying there? That you may be enlightened, that you're going to come to a point where you understand, that you see clearly something. What is Paul saying? We need to be able to see clearly, that you may know what the hope is of his calling. Not what your calling is, but what the hope of your calling is. See, it's deeper than just knowing your calling. You got to know why you're called to that. You got to know why. See, you can know what your calling is, but if you don't have a reason or a purpose for that calling, you'll give up about halfway through. Remember, I'm talking about mining for gold? You'll get about, when you're mining for gold, what's the first thing you have to do? You got to go pick out a piece of land you're going to mine, right? You got to decide if you're going to mine somebody else's land, you're going to lease it, or you're going to buy your own land. That all comes with its own particular problems and complications. If anybody's watched, what's that gold mining show with Parker Schnabel? Okay, I've been watching it since season one. The kid was knee high to a grasshopper. Okay, and he was working his granddaddy's plot. Everybody thinks Parker's this amazing gold digger guy now. The kid started when he was 14 years old. He would go up there on summer vacations, okay? So many people want what somebody else has, but they don't know what they went through to get there.
Right, that's right.
That's Parker's true. Been through more than any of y'all would ever understand. Parker has spent every single summer of his life gold mining. Every summer. He wasn't out playing baseball or doing all that other stuff. He was gold mining. He was learning his stuff. So he went and he learned. He leased some land from that guy, Tony Beats. Well, Tony Beats charged him incredible royalties. He didn't have a choice. So Parker hated giving his money away. So he finally figured out, I better get some of my own land. So he finally gets to the point where he goes and he buys his own land, okay? Now, what do you need to do to go buy gold land? I don't know. I've never been a gold miner before. I know a little bit because I watch the show now. But they go out and they drill test holes. And then they slough it off and they look and they see if there's any gold on it. If there's gold on it, then it's worthwhile going for it. If there's not, then you need to move on down the road. So he first finds the land. Then he determines it all. So then what's he do? Parker says, I'm going to mine, actually we're, because he gets all his employees together, right? And he says, okay, all of us together, we're going to come up here April 1st when the ground is just starting to thaw out, maybe it's still a little frozen, and we're going to mine 1,800 ounces of gold this summer. They're like, 1,800? We didn't get 200 last year. I don't care. 1,800! Come into the season, they're busting up frozen ground to reach the goal. Notice what I said there, the goal. Because they went and they focused on what they were going for. So when they had to remove, when you're digging for gold, you have to remove the overburden. Overburden, in that case, is they had 60 feet of overburden on an area the size of 5 football fields before they got to pay dirt that they had to move. They said it was something like 275,000 truckloads of dirt before they could even start sluicing pay dirt. How many times are you going to have to go through the Word of God before you get to pay dirt? See, we got some overburden in our lives. And we got to dig and we got to go. And we live in a world that does nothing but wants to back the truck and dump it on our heads again. We turn on CNN. They're dumping overburden on our heads. How many places, how many different things, even on Fox, unintentionally, we're getting so caught up in all this stuff. Good stuff, bad stuff. Good stuff looking like bad stuff. Bad stuff looking like good stuff. It's if we don't stay focused on what is the hope of our calling, there's no way we're going to get down to pay dirt, much less start taking home some gold.
Right, that's right.
So now you get this pay dirt. The YouTube video, please. So you get the pay dirt now. What do you have to do with the pay dirt? Going to call up the video to show what has to happen with pay dirt. And I got to... Oh, by the way, you know where pay dirt resides? You know where gold resides? On bedrock. Gold resides on the bedrock. I'm going to let them fix whatever it is they're fixing. But once I learn what the hope of my calling is, and once you learn what the hope of your calling is, I got the hope of my calling the fourth day after I was born again. I got born again on 13 October 2000 in the engine room on a submarine. I was being real spiritual. I was doing sit-ups. I did my eighth one. Sat up and said, Lord, I think I want to know you better. What do I need to do? And just as well as you speaking to me, he said, pick a day that you're willing to tell people that you made me your Lord and Savior. I said, okay, Lord, what day is it? And he told me, it's 13 October. I said, okay, Lord, today I make you my Lord and Savior. And it was just like, he just washed me over. I was an RS, radically saved. There's no doubt in my mind. I got done, I couldn't even finish my workout. Got cleaned up, went up to the control room, relieved the guy so he could go, you know, come off watch long enough to go take care of whatever it was he wanted to go take care of. And he looked at me and he said, what happened? He did. He was a fellow believer. I didn't say a word to him. I just relieved him like we normally do. You know? And he said, what happened? I said, I made Jesus Lord of my life. I said, that's what I thought. I said, amen. I ain't never been the same. 4 days later, I'm trying to remember. Was it 4 days? Oh, 4 days later, I got filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. Didn't sleep for 20 hours. 20 hours, I was wide awake, praying in tongues the whole time. It was wonderful. Right after that, I learned the hope of my calling. Yeah, not yet. That testimony is not ready to come out yet. But anyway, so I got the hope of my calling there. Everything that has come up to thwart that calling, everything. One day I'll give the entire testimony. None of it mattered. The cops showing up at the house didn't matter. Getting thrown out of the house when the cops showed up because all they were trying to do was calm the situation and I was the only one that was calm. It didn't matter. Because the hope of my calling was higher than the present circumstance. So no matter what the devil could throw, it didn't matter because I knew what the hope was. Calling was the calling. And I knew what the hope of that calling was. And I'd seen it. He'd showed it to me. And even worse than that, he'd showed me what... He actually, with me, did a reverse showing. He showed me what it would look like if the hope of that calling didn't succeed. That was more scary. But what I'm telling you is, because he told us in his writings that we could know that hope, you can know that. We'll talk about a couple more of those in just a minute. Go ahead and play the YouTube, please. This is what happens when you find pay dirt and you're looking for gold.
Now, this is one of my favorite ways to prospect. Actually, prospecting anyway is my favorite way, but this is a sluice box. And we use the flow of the creek to do the work for us. And that way we can run a lot more material than we can just panning, because this is a constant flow running through here. Don't take no gasoline motor. That's pretty simple. The principle is the gold traps inside here, and the light stuff washes on out with the water. And it's got this raised matting in here. That's your first stage, and it's got this area here where you drop your material in. Your gold settles out to the bottom, and then you've got some indoor-outdoor carpet that's got some ripples in that. And then you've got some metal screen down here. And what the purpose of this is to get it so that your gold traps. Now, you can see how this material is hanging in here behind this eddy that's right behind these ripples. And that's what you want to see. And you let the water wash the light stuff off, and your box is trapping your heavies in there. I like to just put some of the material inside the box. And if it blows on out of there, then you know you got too much water flow, or you got it too steep. Now, see how those ripples are holding the material in behind them? That's what you want to see. And then you don't want to overfeed the box. If you just take this whole bucket and dump it in there at one time, it wouldn't trap the gold as well as just slowly feeding it in there. It gives it a chance to separate out and the lights to go on out and the heavies to stay inside your box. Yes, sluicing's really nice because it's nice and quiet. You can hear somebody sneaking up on you. If they're sneaking up trying to steal your gold from you, you can hear them coming. The sound of the water and the birds chirping, and it's real nice and peaceful. And you can get these into a lot of places that really haven't had too much prospecting done. And a sluice is great because they're not that expensive. You can get a lot of gold with them, and I can run a lot more material than I can panning. And you can find enough gold to pay for a sluice pretty doggone easy, especially with gold prices the way they are today. It's a lot of fun sluicing.
Y'all get the point? It's water that washes.
Oh, gently.
It's water that washes away the stuff. Hmm. It's the water of the Word in our lives that washes away the dross and the other non-stuff that we need and leaves it at the bottom of our pan. But we can put in too much. We can put in too much water. We can have too little water. You got to find what the balance is for you. You got to go to the Lord and get your own pay dirt from Him. I got to put in two plugs right quick before I forget and we get too close to the end here. How many of y'all ever listened to Pastor Robert Morris?
Yeah.
Okay. He's, stay. I got you. I'm just testing gravity. Works good. Pastor Robert Morris, he teaches out of Dallas. He is the pastor of
Gateway.
Yeah, of Gateway Church. But Robert, who's the guy on TV that always talks
Perfect.
About the children's and
James
all that?
James Robeson.
What's that?
James Robeson.
Yes, he is James Robeson's pastor. Okay. Robert Morris has his teachings are off the hook good. They're timely. It's just very, very timely for this time of year. Okay? And he's very honest. He's straight up, straightforward. He's really easy to relate to. He didn't come out of a church upbringing. He ended up in a church upbringing, and he's lived his life in such a way. He's mined the gold that he has now. He didn't just become this rock star preacher. When you ask how he learned about giving, he tells you about the times he gave away his house. The Lord had him give away a house to learn about the aspects of teaching. So I would tell you to go. My admonishment, one other admonishment the Lord asked me to give. Probably one of the set in the 20 years that I've been in church. Probably the saddest thing I watch happen, and I think pastors see it too. I will watch people's lives get changed in a church. I will watch God move in their lives on their behalf and perform miracles, like just amazing miracles. And I will watch those same people a month later leave.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't get that.
Right.
I don't get it. I've had two churches. It just sounds like life to me. I'm good. They're your kids, so you got to be a little bit paranoid.
Yeah,
okay. I know your wife's out chasing them somewhere.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing. My other church, kids stayed up. We didn't care. They ran around the church. Pastor Jean, now she was prim and proper church organist the whole nine yards. I mean, for every church in the area, she had a conniption. We won't go there. Steadfast. Find where God wants you to be and stay there.
Yeah.
Don't leave.
Right.
Don't leave. Is everything going to be perfect? No. If it is, you're in the wrong place.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
You're in the wrong place.
Right. Amen.
David had 5 smooth stones. You think those stones started out smooth?
No.
When those stones started out, they were jagged chunks of rock that had fallen off of some other big chunk of rock. And they got beat up. They got beat down. They got twisted and turned in the stream. It was a lot of heartache before them stones were ready to go kill the giant. Once you find out where you're supposed to be, pastor says, I showed up here. I came here because the Lord told me to come here. I told him why I thought I came here. Then next thing you know, he's preaching a message. It was a question I had out of the Bible for 18 years. It's one of those that kind of hangs there, you know. He's kind of sticking in the closet, figure you'll get an answer on it one day. And then the next Sunday he preaches the next one that's bugging me. I've been thinking about that for like 17 years. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm supposed to hang out here. And I've been blessed ever since.
Amen.
There's a teaching called Be at Your There Place.
Yeah.
And it talks about when the prophet ran and he ended up at the Brook Kidron. And he said the Lord met him there. Mm-hmm. There. If he hadn't gone there, I don't think the Lord would have met him.
Right.
Because he didn't go where the Lord told him to go, and the Lord would be under no obligation until he got to his there place. When you get to your there place, don't worry about what's going on. Find out what the hope of your calling is. And you'll find that it's at your there place. And you'll receive everything you need. The second thing I'd say is everything you do, do it on purpose. When you speak, speak on purpose.
Yeah.
Some people look at me and they kind of laugh and chuckle, you know. They ask, how you doing? I tell them, I'm blessed and highly favored. I used to say, oh, same old, same old. You know, as good as can be expected. I said, you know what? I'm going to answer on purpose.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer on purpose. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
I used to look at my signature and it was a sloppy mess. I said, no, I'm going to change my signature. So I learned how to make a neat, decent signature. And you know what? Like 2 weeks later, somebody compliments me on my signature. Has anybody ever been complimented on your signature before? I was like, that's weird. Must have been supposed to do it, right? So God will meet you where you're at. God will get you to your pot of gold. He will. You just got to let the water do the work.
Yeah.
I could go through the rest of this in Ephesians 1 through 9. 1 through 9, I picked up 19 points. Okay? 19 points. Grace and peace. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We belong to Christ. God loved us before He made the world. We're chosen in Christ. We are holy and without fault in His eyes. God's plan, we know. We know God's plan. That's what it says. And it's an unchanging plan. He adopted us. We're adopted sons and daughters of God. To Him by Christ Jesus. We give Him great pleasure. Wonderful and kindness is poured out on us. God is rich in kindness. God purchased our freedom. Jesus' blood was payment for our sins. Our sins are forgiven. He has showed His kindness on us. He has showed us all wisdom and all understanding. You get that one? I've got a real kick out of that one. We have all understanding. When you say, I don't understand, you're not scripturally correct.
Yeah.
The Bible says you have understanding. If you say, I don't understand, then you're not according to scripture, so just back that one up. Don't go there. Talk to the hand. Y'all remember that one?
Yeah.
God's secret plan, we know. It says we know God's secret plan. And the anointing of Jesus, designed long ago by God's pleasure. And I got one more point I want to call out, and then I'll let y'all get into y'all's own studying. If we go back and we look at verse 14 of Ephesians, actually, we'll start at 13. In whom also ye have trusted, have you heard that the word of truth, even the gospel of your salvation, wherein also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Comma, not period, comma. Okay, so here we have the Holy Spirit as a promise. What is the Holy Spirit a promise of? Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now, until I sold a house, I didn't know really what earnest meant. But when we went to sell my parents' house, they gave us an earnest payment against them purchasing that house. See, we had people lined up. We had people lined up after them with cash to buy the house. So we're telling these people, well, yeah, we need some earnest. We need to know for a fact that you really mean to do this. So we need some earnest, some proof, some earnest. Earnest what? Earnest of what we were about to receive. So they gave us a check for $5,000. Now here I am running around doing my own thing, and all of a sudden $5,000 pops up in my hand. I said, that's kind of cool. But you know what? That's only an earnest of what was to come.
Right.
Of what was to come. And it was a lot more to come. And it says here, How many of y'all like just spending time in the presence of the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, that's some of the best stuff you can do, right? Just sit back, spend time in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
It says here, he is only an earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit, the one we love to be with the most of anything, he's just a small portion of what's coming. When I read that, I was like, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keith Green wrote a song, and he said, oh, I'll finish this, which is the earnest of our inheritance for the redemption of that liberty purchased unto the praise of his glory. Keith Green has an opening song. An opening line in one of his songs, he says, it took God 7 days to create the earth. He's been working on heaven 3,000 years. That makes living down here like living in a garbage can. The hope of what we have coming. Don't look at what's going on down here. 7 days worth of work down here. We got the Holy Spirit as an earnest payment of our inheritance of things to come. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't have to put up with the nonsense going on in this world. And it's fitting to get a lot crazier.
That's right.
I had to repent a lot in 2020.
Right. Too.
Okay? The Constitution was my God. The First Amendment. The First Amendment was the church's God. In America, the First Amendment was the church's God. Yeah, I said it. I ain't taking it back. The church said, you can't touch me because of the First Amendment. There was one church, maybe two churches in America that stood up and said, I'm going to follow your orders, but you can't touch me because God said I'm supposed to be here. And that man, Rodney Howard Brown, got vindicated.
Mm-hmm.
He got vindicated. Everybody was poo-pooing him and cutting him down and telling him he screwed up. And they had to rescind all that. They had to back it all up. They were writing him tickets. They were fining him. They were doing all that stuff because the Constitution was a godless God. The First Amendment don't preach. Jesus preaches.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Jesus preaches.
Yes.
God preaches. God's our salvation. God's our source.
Amen.
God is our goal.
Amen.
Amen.
God is our inheritance.
Yeah.
And we get there by washing away this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go there. Didn't say it. Could have. Been 20 years. Okay. It's almost enough time to not slip anymore.
There you go.
We have this earnest inheritance in us. We are children of the Most High God. We're ambassadors of Christ.
Right.
Yes.
This is not our home. This is not our home. We're ambassadors. And with an ambassadorship, we have diplomatic immunity.
Hallelujah.
Back off. Diplomatic immunity. So, Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, that all of us are saved, born again, and delivered. Lord, my heart goes out to those who don't know you, who still run around thinking the world's got what they want, who instead of taking the time to dig down through the overburden into the pay dirt, are thinking that overburden is something to have, something to call out for. Lord, I ask that your church in America would unite. My heart bleeds over a divided body.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Church of Jesus Christ is not effective in America today because we are a divided body. Help us, Lord.
Yes.
To become a unified body.
Amen.
The only question we need to be asking in our churches is, do you believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
That's the hope of our glory. That's the hope of our salvation. That is the guarantee of our inheritance. And I thank you, Lord, that every one of these brothers and sisters has the guarantee of that inheritance.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.